Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Thank y'all very much. Glad you're singing us in here and warming us up this morning. By the way, on this side of the house, it's 65 degrees. On this side over here, it's 68 degrees. But up there, it's balmy. It's perfect, isn't it? Everybody move to the balcony. It's great up there. Anyway, thank y'all for being here. I know a lot of people are watching from home this morning. You know, if you could play football for Kansas City yesterday in minus 27, you can worship the Lord. It's officially double digits out there. 10 degrees. Woohoo! This morning as we get going, I want you to think back to David and Goliath. You know, the young boy, David, wasn't big enough to be in the army. He's actually bringing some, you know, a care package from home to his brothers who were fighting in the army. And that's when he saw that giant, you know, and talking all that noise about God, and, you know, kind of talking noise to the people of Israel. And David said, "What in the world? Why are you letting this happen?" Right? And David's ready to take him on and said, "No, you're too young." And anyway, when Saul finally says, "Okay, we'll let you go," he tries to put his armor. I mean, it's fancy armor, expensive armor, the best armor in the whole army. They try to put it on David on the outside. But David knew that his real strength was not in what was on the outside. He knew that the really important thing was who he was on the inside. Y'all were talking about hope. Y'all are doing, hopefully, Bear Mills is doing his daily devotionals coming, 21 days of hope. And this morning, as we think about the battles that we got to fight in 2024, as we think about all the struggles that we're facing this morning, I want you to just let the Lord himself come and build his presence, his righteousness in you. Lord Jesus, we're here today. God, we're out in the cold today. Lord, we're with brothers and sisters in Christ today because we need you. Lord, we can do a lot of things on the outside. We can try all of that to fix ourselves, to protect ourselves. But Lord, we don't need what the world offers in terms of armor. Lord, we need your presence, not just on the outside of us, but deep, deep down on the inside. So come this morning. Lord, you know what you need to do in each and every one of our lives. So as we sing and pray and hear your word this morning, Jesus, you come and do what you need to do in us in this new year. In your name, Jesus, we pray. All right. I hope that's not just what we're singing about, but we're living about this morning as Jesus Christ, our living hope. Our scripture this morning, just one verse, Romans 15:13. Will you say it with me? Say it out loud together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, this morning, send your Holy Spirit here. Lord, we pray that we won't just read these words on the screen, but truly your hope will become alive and thriving in every person here. Come, Holy Spirit, do what needs to be done. Lord, speak what needs to be spoken. Lord, may we not hear my voice, but your voice this morning. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So there's a quote that's often attributed to John Wesley, and the quote is, "The best is yet to be." Now, I did a lot of research this week, and it seems that John Wesley evidently never said this. It's actually a quote from a Robert Browning poem. The poem is, how's it go? "Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be, the last of life for which the first was made." And so, anyway, that's, even though John Wesley may never have coined that phrase, "the best is yet to be," best is yet to be is definitely an attitude that reflects the holy optimism of the Wesley boys back in the 18th century. They believed that God's kingdom was already here, yet not fully here. They believed that God was present and working in powerful ways in the here and the now, and that the current availability of God's Spirit had surely provided a foretaste of the glory of God to come. So, as we live, right, here in this cold January moment, this sacred and holy moment, this very morning, we leave behind what we see of 2023 to head into God's more of 2024. That's me being Robert Browning. Anyway, okay. Again, this morning, hear, receive the powerful prayer of Paul. May the God of hope fill you. Fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in Him. Lord, may we be filled with that joy so much that we overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning, three key ways for us as we seek for the God of hope to fill us with Himself. Three keys this morning for us to overflow with God's hope in our day-to-day lives. First key is that we need to see the best. We need to see the best. Now, when John Wesley was in his final hours of life, his brothers and sisters in Christ, they gathered around him. And what I'm going to read to you is an eyewitness account given by an early Methodist layperson, laywoman named Betsy Ritchie. This is what she said. She said, "We were hoping that some of those who were most used to hearing our dear father's dying voice will be able to interpret his meaning. But though he strove to speak, as we were still unsuccessful, finding we could not understand what he said," right? Finding that we couldn't understand what he was saying, he paused a little, and then with all the remaining strength he had, he cried out, "The best of all," right? "The best of all is that God is with us." And then is to assert the faithfulness of our promise-keeping Jehovah God and comfort the hearts of his weeping friends, lifting up his dying arm in token of victory and raising his feeble voice with a holy triumph never again to be expressed. He repeated the heart-reviving words, "The best of all is that God is with us." Y'all, this morning... It's not just a deathbed thing. It's not just a 300-year-ago thing. This morning, the best of all is still God is with us. The best of all is that right now, right here in this very room, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is going on in this world, the best of all is that He is with us. No matter what. Amen. I don't know how you came in this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. But no matter what, the best of all is Emmanuel. God is with us. I saw a great basketball game yesterday when the Raiders had an amazing come from behind 1-point victory. Janie and I had a really good trip to see your mom last week in D.C., Friday night, we had some really good broccoli and cheese soup with homemade cornbread. Thursday night was really a good night when we got to babysit all four of the grandkids all at once. All of that, y'all, was good. It was really good. But y'all, the best of all is that God is with us. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things, all this other stuff will be added unto you." So I ask you this morning, is Jesus Himself the best, the most, the first in your life? 160 years ago, William Featherstone penned the words to a beautiful song, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine, for Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Can you sing the second verse with me? "I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee in life. I will love Thee in death and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath. and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Y'all, this morning, is he your best? Is he your most? Is he your first? Seek first, front and center, high above all other things. Seek first, Jesus. Second key for us in this morning as we seek for the God of hope to fill us, second key for us to overflow with God's hope in our day-to-day lives is that we not only have to see the best, we have to seek the best. For so many people, they may see the best. They may be aware of the best. They may know that they are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They may know that Jesus is supposed to be number one, but there is no willingness to change. There's no willingness to change directions. There's no willingness to move from where they are, where we are, to where we are called to be, where we need to be. Pastor Randy Brown says, he says, show me a church, show me a person, show me a Sunday school class, show me a country, show me a community that's in love with itself, that's satisfied with things the way they are, and I'll show you a person in a church that's not open to God, that is not open to do what God wants to do in them and through them. In other words, you know, if you're satisfied with where you are, guess where you'll stay? Right where you are. All of us this morning, all of us this morning need God's grace to accept us where we are, but God's grace to take us where we need to be. Pastor Brown finished, he says this, he asked a question. He says, are we growing through what we're going through? Are we growing through what we're going through? All of us here this morning are going through something, right? All of us here this morning are going through all kinds of struggles and issues, stuff, right? But are we growing through whatever that stuff is? Are we changing? Are we learning? Are we allowing God to teach us and lead us and transform us more and more into his image? There will never be any real change. There will never be any real change without real cost. On October 28th, 1963, Martin Luther King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech to over 200,000 people from the steps of Lincoln Memorial. King said, I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, Mississippi will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will be judged by the color of their, not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, this is straight from the prophet Isaiah, I have a dream that one day every valley will be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low, that rough places will be made plain and crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with this faith that we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we'll be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we'll be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will one day be free. That will be the day. That will be the day when all God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing, Lord, where my land, where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside let freedom ring. Martin Luther King said, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And he says that when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, all God's children will be able to join hands in singing the words of that old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Y'all, it's one thing to have a dream and to see a dream, but it's another thing to march, walk 54 miles from Selma to Montgomery for the sake of justice. It's one thing to have a dream and to see a dream. It's another thing to be sprayed with water hoses and thrown in jail. It's one thing to see a dream and have a dream. It's another thing to be attacked by dogs and lynched by hanging and assassinated in broad daylight at a Memphis hotel. Yo, what's your dream? What's your God-given dream? I wonder what dream, what purpose, what call, what best Jesus has for you in your life in 2024. And I also wonder what cost, what price are you willing to pay, not just to see God's best, but for you to truly experience and live His best in your life, through your life. There will be no change without cost, personally, corporately, in the church, in the world, in my heart, in yours. There will be no change without cost. Have you ever heard the story of the little boy who was being very bad one day? All day he caused his mother fits. One thing after another, he just was giving her trouble all day long. And she sent him to bed early that night, and she said to him, "You go to bed, and when you go to bed, you need to say your prayers. And when you say your prayers, you need to ask God to help you be a better boy." So the little boy went up to his bedroom and he got down beside his bed and his mother stood outside the door listening to his prayer. And the boy prayed, "Dear God, please help me to be a better boy tomorrow because I've been really, really bad today. Please, Lord, help me be a better boy if you can. And Lord, if you can't, that's okay because I kind of like it this way. I'm okay just the way I am," right? Y'all, the six most dangerous words in your relationship with God this way and in your relationships with each other this way is, "Well, that's just who I am." If you are so satisfied with who you are and where you are, then by golly, that's where you will be. But if you want God to do something new, if you want His touch and His power and His presence to not just meet you where you are, but take you where you need to be, just remember there will never be any real change without real cost. Final key for us this morning as we seek to, for the God of hope to fill us with Himself, as the final key for us to overflow with God's hope in our day-to-day lives, is that we not only have to see the best and seek the best, we have to be willing to be the best. If the best of all is that God is with us, if the best of all is that right here, right now, Jesus is resident and present in us, then the best is not some external reality that we're seeking to attain outside of ourselves. That's not what the best is. But rather the best is God's very presence living and reigning in us, forming and transforming us more and more and more into His image. Being the best is being like Jesus. Being the best is truly being His disciple, truly loving God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving neighbors, loving others as Jesus has loved us. Being the best, according to John Wesley, he says it this way, do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can at all the times you can to all the people you can as long as ever you can. Being the best, it's not just being a disciple who learns information about Jesus, but being the best is being a disciple who loves Jesus and thus obeys Jesus. Being the best is actually obeying Jesus' command to go and make disciples for Him. On Friday, on day 12 of our 21 Days of Hope with Bear, Bear invited us to live out our 2 Corinthians 5:20 purpose. That we are to be His ambassadors. We're to be ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. God wants to use us to change the world. God doesn't just want a pastor standing on the stage. He wants His people going out into the world. All of us going out as His ambassadors and His ministers to share His love and His light with all. As we begin 2024 together, who are five people, or who are three people, or who is one person that you know Jesus has put into your life for you to raise him or her up as a follower of Jesus? To be a disciple of Jesus is to be a disciple maker for Jesus. I asked Bear to lead us in 21 Days of Hope because I believe that what our world needs, what we need more than ever, is hope. Specifically, the kind of hope that can only come from being in a relationship with Jesus. I love the way theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about hope. Bonhoeffer, by the way, remember, he stood up against Hitler. He was put in prison, ultimately martyred because of his faith in Christ, you know. And Bonhoeffer said that hope is a defiant nevertheless. A defiant nevertheless. It doesn't matter what's going on around you or me. It doesn't matter what's going on out there in the world. There's nothing you can do to take away my hope and our hope that we have in Jesus. This kind of hope is not based in our current circumstances, no matter how good or bad they may be at the time. Hope. True hope only comes from Jesus. Hope comes directly from a relationship with He who is our hope. Remember how Paul says it in Colossians 1:27. He says, Christ in you. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. This morning in this new year, I want to encourage you to not put your hope in your present or desired circumstances, but rather to put your hope in Jesus and thus let His hope be put in you. Theologian Jeremy Bigme says that we do not hope for the future. We do not hope in the future. We hope from the future. As we hope in Jesus, we are literally pulling the future into the present. Because we know that ultimately all things work together for the good of those who love God. We know that Jesus came 2,000 years ago to save us. And guess what? We know that Jesus is coming again. We know that one day there will be no more sin or sickness or suffering or sorrow. We know that His new kingdom has come and is come. We know that the kingdom of God is advancing. We know that His church is being built. We know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We know that for every bad thing that happens, there is a good or many more good things. We know that the nights may be getting darker, but that His light is getting brighter. We know that we have every reason to hope because we know how the story ends, right? We know that he is both Alpha and Omega. We know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, y'all, we don't hope for the future. We don't hope in the future. We hope from the future because we know how the story ends. We will be our best when we remember, when we experience his very presence alive and real in our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I close this morning with an old preacher story I heard a long time ago. See, this new preacher got to his new church, and he got a phone call early in the week, and it was a lady that everybody just knew as Aunt Lizzie. And Aunt Lizzie said, "Preacher, I want you to come see me." And the preacher said, well, I'll be there tomorrow. And she said, "No, sir, I want you to come today." And so the preacher went today. When he got there, she said, "Preacher, you'll be here long enough probably to do my funeral, and there are some things that I want to get straight with you right now about my funeral." He said, "Okay." And she said, "I want you to bury me in my white bonnet." He said, "Okay." She said, "No, write it down. I don't want you to forget it." And so he wrote it down, white bonnet. And she said, "And preacher, I want you to bury me in my blue dress because everybody knows me in that blue dress. Write it down, blue dress." "Okay, blue dress." And then she said, "Preacher, I want you to bury me with a fork in my hand." He said, "Aunt Lizzie, I understand the white bonnet and I understand the blue dress, but why in the world do you want to be buried with a fork in your hand?" And she said, "Boy, haven't you ever been to a church supper?" He said, "Well, yes, ma'am." And she said, well, when you're at a church supper and you're eating and laughing and enjoying the fellowship and they come around to take your plate, what do they tell you? They tell you to keep your fork because the dessert is coming, because the best is yet to come, right? You never wonder why they tell you to keep your fork. You just know it. Son, I tell you why they tell you to keep your fork, because the best is yet to come. And I want people, when they walk by my casket and they see me in that white bonnet, in that blue dress, I want them to know that Aunt Lizzie believes that the best is yet to come." Y'all, the best is yet to come. And it's not just someday when we go to heaven. The best is yet to come today, because heaven has come to us. You see, this morning, I thought about putting forks out here, right? Come and grab your fork and remember the best yet, y'all. Don't grab your fork this morning. Grab Jesus. Don't hold on to just a symbol of the best. Hold on to he who is the best. Lord Jesus, this morning, God, it's not just heaven that's the best. It's heaven getting into us that is the best. It's not just someday when we get to be with you on the other side that's the best. It's when you come from the other side and pour out your Holy Spirit and live with us today. That's the best. So no matter what we're facing today, Lord, the best is yet to come. Because you have come, you are come. And you will come again and again to fill us with hope. The God of hope comes this morning to give you his hope. The God of hope comes this morning to be your hope. Lord Jesus, we don't just want to hold the fork. Lord, we want to hold you and we want to let you hold us. So come in this new year, Lord, in a new way, and do what needs to be done in every single one of us. For your glory, for our good. In your name we pray. Amen. Because he lives, he is Emmanuel. He is God who is with us. And he is our living hope. We're not looking back to just trust in something that happened 2,000 years ago. We're trusting in someone who did something for us 2,000 years ago, who now lives and reigns and dwells with us and in us in this very moment. Jesus, come and do what needs to be done in every life. Lord, forgive us our sins. Cleanse us of our unrighteousness. Set us free to truly follow you. Let us make a difference in this world. Let us be light into the darkness. Let us be hope into the despair. Let us be life into the despairing that's all around us. Lord, we love you and we need you. And we trust you to be our living, always present hope. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank y'all for being here this morning in the cold.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.